Miss Danny Johnson tonight. We're going to continue kind of in the same format that we've been doing. You know, you guys are constantly emailing us questions that you're wanting us to address on these conference calls, and so we're going to continue just this week as I'm preparing for Dynasty coming up next week. I'm so excited to meet these this incredible group of people that are stepping up to our advanced training level. So while I'm in preparation for Dynasty and just really focusing my efforts there tonight, I'm going to handle the questions that you guys have been emailing to us. And I know it's going to be just a very rich call, and the questions, you know, vary from prospecting to working with people to all other kinds of things. And so anyway, so my name, for those of you who have never heard about us, is your very first time on a call with us. My name is Danny Johnson. And prior to getting started in business for myself, I was a 19, 20-year-old kid who just had no college education. I didn't believe that I could succeed really in anything. My parents were drug addicts. They didn't really have dreams or goals or direction for any of us kids that grew up there. And my father was extremely violent, and I honestly believe that people like us didn't succeed in anything. And so when I first heard about the industry and the business, I was introduced to it by a friend. And my friend had told me that about, you know, an opportunity, and I just said, you know what, this sounds great for you, but it's definitely not going to work for me. And he persisted with me for 2 months. And I told him for 2 months, nah, it's not going to work. You know, you could do it. I know you can. And after 2 months, I finally got the courage up after hearing a testimonial that really put me over the edge. And I finally got started. And I made my first business mistake my very first day in business, and that was I quit my job and I came in full time. I don't know why in the world I ever did that, thinking that I could actually make it happen without knowing anything about business, not knowing anything about working with people and the products and the services that the company had. I didn't know squat, and here I quit my job and came in full time. My first 6 months I failed miserably. I couldn't get anybody interested in any part of it, company, product, nothing. None of it was working for me, and I talked to so many people just right out of the gates, and yet nothing was happening for me. After 6 months, I found out about a training seminar that was supposed to really help my business and help things take off. And I went to it, and it cost me nearly $1,500 between all the expenses to get there and the fee to get in. And I came out of that very first seminar, made $4,000 my first 8 days. The next month, I brought a bunch of people back with me, made $11,000, and then continued to bring people to that training seminar, brand new people, just continue to promote those events and plug people through there, because the people that I would bring, they would come out of the seminar just going for it. Man, they were presenting, they were talking to people, they were closing, they were teachable, they were hungry, they were ready to make things happen. And so that was my business model, is wherever there was a training seminar, I just filled the room with my people. And my check got up to just under $21,000 just after a few short months of building that business, and then decided I wanted to go get married and make some babies and kind of complete that part of my life. And the guy that I married changed his mind after only a couple of months. He drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, leaving me with a $35,000 debt. I was living on the Big Island of Hawaii, totally, completely destitute, broke. No money coming in because my business was stolen as a direct result of marrying him. And I lost, more importantly, my dreams, my goals, vision, passion, drive, focus, everything. And not to mention that I wound up being completely homeless, living on a beach in Hawaii, which I know somebody like, oh, big deal, you know, how rough. No, I'm sorry. It was frightening. Here I'm 21 years old. I have a Hyundai that I'm living out of. I'm showering in public places. I'm scared to death that somebody's going to steal the rest of what I had locked up in my car. I found a job as a cocktail waitress shortly thereafter that, and you know, it was devastating. I mean, absolutely devastating. So to go from the top of a compensation structure, making a ridiculous amount of money at a very young age, to being completely homeless, husband left me, lost everything that I had built, lost it all. And after several weeks of being homeless, I finally got frustrated with myself and upset with myself and went out and did something about it. Day after Christmas, started a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth and made $2,000 the first 10 hours. Next month, I put in a total of 30 hours, made $6,540. Next month, over $10,000. By the end of my first year, made $250,000. By the end of my second year, my first $1 million in business. And so here, 23 years old, became a seven-figure income earner, all starting from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth and a voicemail number, and that was it. Really what I started with was a desire to not fail again. a desire to not wind up the way that my family was, a desire to rise up and get out of the rut that I was in and do something better with my life. At the time, I had a four-year-old daughter, and I just did not want ever for her to look at me and say, my mom is just a complete loser. I didn't want that. I wanted something better for her. And so the person who invited you on this call tonight invited you because they cared enough about you to help to introduce you to something that perhaps can help you. We are just a training service. We have people, all walks of life that are on this call right now. We have people that are, you know, blue collar workers like I was, cocktail waitresses and bartenders and, you know, mechanics and construction workers, all the way to people that are doctors and lawyers and judges, as well as big business people, CEOs and presidents of companies that are listening to this call right now. And the reason, and you would ask why? Why would everybody be listening in? Well, part of it is I think all of us can realize that we all need a shot in the arm once, at least once a week, that we all need a little bit of clarity, help, and direction when we're going through life, totally giving it our best shot in every way possible that we can. Who encourages the encourager? And so this is not a call to just hype you up and get you excited about nothing. It's about making sure, are you on the right track? Is your life where you want it to be? Are you going in the direction you want to go, and are you going at the pace that you want to go in? Has things turned out the way that you have planned? If not, it's time to take a look and say, okay, what do I need to do to improve? Our website at DannyJohnson.com has literally 50 hours of free training available on it that can help you in every single area of your life. I mean, we get emails every day of people saying their marriages have been healed or they have better relationships with their kids now just from the tips and techniques that they've learned from a Monday night call like this, that they've gotten raises in their jobs, that they're helping and serving more in their communities, that they're making far more money now because of what they have learned from a call like this or a training seminar like the one we have taking place in Denver, Colorado, June 11th and 12th of this month, which is a weekend. And, you know, whatever part that people choose to participate. But the introduction to the site is totally free, and there's all kinds of things that are available on there if you choose to take steps into improving every single area of your life. That's what's available there. We've had so many people get promoted in their jobs just from learning tips and techniques that are on a free website. So the person that invited you, you need to thank them because they cared enough about you and your future to say, hey, listen, I found something that's helped me. And I feel like it can help you in any way, shape, or form. And so make sure that the person that invited you on this call, that you thank them. Just thank them for caring about you. Thank them for introducing you to a free service that can really help to impact your life if you allow it to. And there's some of you that were led here by somebody in a supervisory role, somebody in a management position, somebody in a position where they are leading you and responsible for training you. You need to pay attention to those people. If they have any bit of what you want, then you really need to follow the system that they've already implemented and put into place. And obviously, this conference call is part of that system. So I honor those leaders that are on the phone right now who are six- and seven-figure income earners in various different industries around the world that are listening to us right now. So here we go. We have a ton of questions that I'm going to go through, as time permitting and how long it takes to answer them. But here's one question from a lady by the name of Nancy. She says, how do you kickstart your six-month-old business when you are in a rut and have people in your organization that you cannot motivate? You know what, Nancy? That is an awesome question, and that's a very common question that a lot of people ask. And my answer to that question is it always starts first with you. I built a sales force. My husband and I both built a sales force up to 20,000 people in 2 short years, working very part-time, 20 hours a week. And honestly, those 20 hours a week that we worked, we were extremely motivated in the area of constantly prospecting, constantly out there getting brand new business. We were constantly replacing the people that were in our sales force. I mean, I want you to think about this for a minute. You know, if the NFL stopped recruiting for their football league, if all the teams, if the San Francisco 49ers stopped recruiting, they would be dead. They would no longer be in business. You know what I mean? If the Denver Broncos stopped recruiting, if the Dallas Cowboys stopped recruiting, the reality is none of us women would watch sport on television. That's for darn sure, because it wouldn't be nothing fun to watch. But the reality is this, is that every organization, every professional and successful organization must continue to constantly recruit. And so I don't care if you are running a small company and you have a print shop, you gotta constantly be out there drumming up brand new clients. Why? Because other clients dry up. It's called business. It's the way things work. It doesn't matter what kind of a business or what kind of an organization you're running. If you are not constantly getting new business, getting new clients, getting new customers, and recruiting new blood to work internally in your organization, then the thing is going to stop. And if that's your goal, is to only have it so sized, then, you know, that's another story. But how do you kickstart a six-month-old business? Usually what happens is that most people in the beginning build it new. They talk to tons of people. They're getting the word out there with all kinds of fervor, and they usually last only until they get 5 or 10 reps or 5 or 10 customers, and then they want to sit around and hatch those customers. You can't do that. What you got to do is get out there and get brand new blood. That is the true bottom line of the business model that you particularly are coming from, because they know the business that you're coming from. And so you've got to go get new. People follow new blood. That's how it works. And the reality is that you've got to tell lots of stories of the brand new people that you're getting. When you have new stories coming in all the time, there's nothing that motivates the old more than brand new stories. It's excellent, healthy competition for those people. Okay, and also, we've got a lot of people that have used the Danny Johnson method and system to be able to help kickstart and motivate their team. We have many, many testimonials of people who have just, you know, told all their people about a training seminar called First Steps to Success that we do. And also our North Carolina CDs. We've had lots of people use the North Carolina CDs as a tool to help jumpstart their people. But the reality is the business works through three ways: expose, involve, and upgrade. And if your people are getting involved, meaning that they're plugging in on calls like this, they're listening to the North Carolina CDs, they're plugging into a training seminar like in Denver, Colorado in June, that they're plugging into a battery charger, then there's not an issue of motivation and a question of them actually building the business. One of the reputations that we have in the industry is we will put your people to work. No question. But you've got to be able to be the one that puts them in front of the system. And so it's a team effort. While you're learning how to motivate, you can go ahead and lean on the strengths of somebody else that's been motivating people for a long, long time. Okay, next question is from Alice. Alice says, I'm a very shy person. I do not have the support of my family and friends, but I know I can succeed in my business. I just have a problem with just going up to people and talking because I'm not a talkative person. Okay, Alice, I totally understand, and you are so not going to believe what I'm going to say, but you're going to have to take a leap of faith and just trust me for a minute. When I first started, and I have a friend of mine that he and I have been working together for 16 years, he got up in Dallas and told everybody this truth that of who he saw me to be. I was extremely intimidated by people when I first got started in this industry. I was terrified of talking to people. I didn't like people. I didn't like having conversations with people, and I was extremely intimidated by smart, pretty people, whether it was men or women, just people that had the appearance that they kind of had it all together, popular people. I just didn't like people in general. I didn't feel comfortable around older people, younger people. I mean, it just none of it felt comfortable to me. And so I was extremely that way. I was not a talkative person at all. It was scary to me that here I was in a business where it kind of required me to talk to people, and I suffered for the first 6 months because I wasn't good at it. I didn't have the natural born giftings of it at all. My natural born giftings, you know, helped me to excel in basketball, and that was about it. I wasn't a people person. I wasn't a, you know, gosh, I can't even remember the term that people use to explain those kinds of people. They got the gift to gab. That is not who I was at all. All that where I'm at today is learned. And so just be of good courage, Alice, and the CDs from North Carolina, they will absolutely help you in the beginning of learning how to talk to people. There's also a book that I read that dramatically changed things for me, and it was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book really, really helped to stimulate my confidence in the area of being more interested in other people and learning to ask questions. And so questions, and Alice, this is what I would recommend for you as well as the rest of you who feel that you are shy. I want you to take the pressure off of yourself in trying to sponsor people and try to sell something. I want you to just take that pressure off of yourself completely. And the place that I want you to start is this. I want you to start with those North Carolina CDs and understanding the process of what we call FORM, which is building a rapport. And we use an acronym called FORM because you start first talking about their family, their occupation, their recreation, and then you give them a message. I don't want you to worry about the message for a good 30 days. Until you have actually formed 50 people. I want you to go and form 50 people, which means that you get them talking about themselves, okay? And if you first want to start off with your friends and family members, I want you to just call and have some good casual conversations with people. Just ask them, hey, how's the family doing? Hey, you know, where did you live prior to this? And ask them about their job and their boss and what they like about it, what they don't like about it. Recreation, what do they like to do for fun? Do they feel like they get to do it often enough? Things like that. These are just questions to ask people to get them talking about themselves. Then you are in control of the conversation. And Alice, your confidence level will absolutely soar when you have figured out how to control a conversation and you've learned the skill of controlling a conversation. You're going to feel so on top of it. There's not one situation that you will have with people that you'll be intimidated by at all. You will know how to direct conversations where you want to direct them. You'll know exactly the kind of questions to ask. And how those questions can turn into more questions and how to lead them into the direction where you want them to go. And again, Alice, it takes practice. It took practice for me. But once I got it, man, girl, I hit it, and I hit it hard, and it has never, ever since then been a problem for me. There is not anybody that I'm intimidated by, whether they're people, and I work with very successful multimillionaires all the way to people who are homeless I've started ministries in my church where we help the homeless and pray for the homeless and the sick and all that kind of stuff. There's just not a situation where I'm uncomfortable around people anymore. And so just be of good courage that there is skills that you can learn, and this shyness will be an absolute thing of the absolute past. It will no longer be an issue for you. So again, you want to first get them talking about themselves using the acronym of FORM, which is getting them talking about their family, occupation, recreation, and message. If you really want to master that type of a skill, the North Carolina CDs are a good short-term alternative. There's a lot of time spent on talking to people, asking questions, controlling conversation. More importantly, the seminar taking place in Denver, Colorado, Alice, if you want to be like jump started. We had a gal that was in Phoenix who never talked to anybody, been in her business for a while, wouldn't talk to a soul. Came out of Phoenix, and we were all leaving, wrapping up the night, and she forgot something in her room, came back, and she goes, I just talked to a stranger on the street. She goes, I've never done that before. I'm so shy. I never like talking to anybody. So it was an awesome thing to see. And so I know that between Denver, Colorado, First Steps to Success is taking place in June, and the North Carolina cities, you're going to master it, baby. You just know. Be of good courage. We've helped tons, hundreds and hundreds of people get over their shyness, because it's not natural to be shy like that. Okay, here's another question from Mary. Mary says, she says, besides looking for possible prospects, I'm also eager to find a lead that will be willing to host a home show for me. How would you suggest I handle that when I call? Okay, and it looks to me, here we go. Let me read this whole thing. Mary, she says, whenever possible, I represent my company at public events, like vendor shows and trade shows and things like that. When I attend these events, I have a ballot box that clearly states, register for personal session. I come home with a box filled with leads, but when I call these leads, even when I follow your script and say, you filled out a form asking me to call, I'm usually treated as though I'm asking them to come over and clean my toilets. What do you suggest? I love it. A great way to put that, girl. Okay, so I understand because I've done that before in my very early days where I, you know, came home with a big long list of names and things of that nature, and, you know, what do you say to these people? And so she's using the script, and the script that she's talking about can be found on the website. It's a script book. It has 16 scripts in it, and it has two CDs to teach you how to use the script. Now, great question, awesome question. Let me go ahead and address it. All right, so it says on your little form, register for a personal session. Okay, there's tons of people that do that all the time. That's no big deal. And what do you want to say to those people? Well, if you're calling them, and the most important thing is to begin in a friendly way. I know that a lot of these people you never even got to meet. But I want you to use the term that I call friends first. And in friends first, it means that you just do not sound overly professional. You come across in a very friendly, very natural way. So, for example, I'll just say, you know, I'm going to call you Mary Smith, all right? And if you were on my list, I would say, you know, hi, Mary. I would assume that Mary is answering the phone, okay? Hi, Mary. How's it going? And Mary's going to say, oh, great. Who's this? This is Danny. I'm calling you back. You requested more information for a personal session. What can I do for you? And there you go. So she went, first of all, felt you came across in a very friendly way. Her guard did not go right up. She did not feel like a telemarketer was calling her. And so the first few seconds are set up in the right way versus, hi, Mary Smith. This is Danny Johnson calling from XYZ Corporation. You signed up for a personal session. I was just calling to get you that information, and I'd like to talk to you tonight about our special service of blah, 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 blah. Okay? Well, Mary's not interested, and she doesn't want to talk to you because you sound like a salesperson. Okay, so, and again, in the script book and on the CDs, there's so much information about how not to sound like a salesperson. We got two classes running right now of people learning to not sound like a salesperson. It is amazing how many people do sound like a salesperson. So, Mary, I would tape yourself when you make these calls, making sure that you sound very friendly, that you don't sound overly nice, like you're trying to coerce them into something. You need to sound firm and enterprising. You need to sound, you need to have good posture, that you're interviewing for the right kind of a person, and that you're not trying to sweet talk them into getting a personal session. Okay? That's very important. And so anyway, my suggestion is that you record yourself, see how you sound. If you sound as though you are a salesperson, I would change your approach completely, and I would not sound like that any longer. Okay, and then you said besides looking for possible prospects, you're also eager to find a lead that is willing to do a home show for you. That is not something that I would do over the phone. That is something, now since you had these leads from a vendor show, chances are they were like in your area and you're working a local market. Even if you're not, it doesn't matter. I'm sure you've got a website or you've got a conference call that you can direct people to. I've done home shows without being in the home myself, just through a conference call. Got my new rep to have a speakerphone set up and just called in and basically read the presentation, in 20 minutes over the telephone and closed the people that were there that I did not even meet or see live. Okay, so that is what you would do after you present the opportunity to them. Once you set the appointment to show them your products, your company, your service, and at that point, then you present to them the idea about having a home show, okay? And only then would you want to do that. Okay, so that answers Mary's question. Let's move on from here. That's a great question. She says, have you ever done billboard advertising, and would you consider that part of taking massive action? The answer is no. I have not done billboard advertising ever, and this is from Brian. And would I consider that all-out massive action? No. All-out massive action is you talking to people, talking to people, talking to people, talking to people. That is all-out massive action. I don't know of anybody either in our industry that has had successful billboard advertising, myself personally. So I can't give you advice on what to put on a billboard because I've never needed to do that. And that could be quite costly, by the way. There's other ways of dealing with advertising. I personally rather hire an advertising agency, have them run all the ads. They give me the leads if the ad is successful. That, to me, seems like a much better way to go. But anyway, there you go. And I'm sure there are some people that do that kind of stuff. Okay. Let me go here. Can't do this one because that's like an hour-long topic. Nope. Okay. She says, how do you sell without hype, guarantees, and promises, especially in light of selling value versus price? This is Dr. Herbert. Good question. Good technical question. He says, I would expect that you would say that you tell your story, however, don't have one, yet believe in the product. Okay. Herb, this is it. Dr. Oliver is who this is. I appreciate your question here tremendously. And I am a complete firm believer, just like you, in not selling hype. And I don't necessarily sell guarantees or promises. I like to, and you're right, I like to promote stories. Because facts tell, stories sell. And see, when you tell people too many facts, you give them information that they need to think about. But if you tell them stories, the stories is the only thing that gives them the evidence of the result of that product. That's it. People don't care about the facts, although that the consumer is trying to act smart by asking questions, but the truth of the matter is that they really just want to know, is it going to work for me? That's truly the bottom line. That's what they really want to know. Is it going to work for me? Is it going to be worth it for me to try it? And that's going to be based on whether or not they think it's going to work for them. And there's no amount of information that you can give them that is going to sell them more than testimonies of other people that it's worked for. So obviously in the beginning when I was a homeless woman living out of a car, I did not have a testimony for the product that I had started marketing at all. But the lady who got me started did. And all I did for those first 40 calls was tell her story, and that was it. Over and over again, and I just continued to say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. As you know, I'm obviously not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. However, my friend Kim got started on this stuff, and this is what's happened to her. And for any reason you're not completely satisfied, the company's going to give you your money back. So there's nothing to lose. Are you willing to give it a shot that you can get to your goal, whatever it is that it is that you're marketing, okay? So facts tell, stories sell. That is just a huge, huge revelation that most people just absolutely do not get. There's two reasons why I believe in that process. One is because it works better than anything else I have ever seen by far. Infomercials, you know, cost average about $100,000 to put an infomercial together, and more than half of the infomercial is all testimonials. Story after story after story after story, and that's usually when most people buckle. And then the free offers is what puts them in. Why? Because that's part of the guarantees. If you call now, you'll also receive. Man, there's too much to gain, and I'm not going to lose anything, and that's why people get on it. And so facts tell, stories sell. And I don't care what it is that you're marketing, services or products, makes no difference at all. Facts tell, stories sell. The second reason is if you're in a home-based business where you have the privilege of building and developing a sales force, when you're building and developing a sales force, what you must figure out is the quickest possible way to duplicate that sales force, because that's how your sales will go into momentum. And so if your system is so stinking complicated that it takes forever for the new person to learn how to go out there and talk to people, then the reality is that will not work to building momentum. You actually cause your people to procrastinate, and your people wind up just being totally overwhelmed, and they go in absolute learn mode. And so I can't stress enough the importance of you keeping it simple. Facts tell, stories sell. When you just tell stories, then that person is just going to turn and tell stories, and they're going to wind up with people in their business as well. Okay, so let's move on to the next question. Here, let me get another one. Okay. Let's see. When people indicate that they have time issues as a potential prospect, the example at the end of this call where the guy, she's talking about a question from one of my calls. Yeah, Dale May. She's so cute. Okay, where the guy wanted more time to go fishing when offering alternatives, saying that the company is looking for someone, blah, 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 she says. Wouldn't a common response be, hey, I'm already so busy, I can't go fishing anymore. Why would I want to give up my current job to work with you? How do you distinguish between this being another job that will take up more of their time that they don't have enough of already? Okay. Let me tell you something, Del May. This is, like, real important that you get this. And I know that you're over there in Australia. You have not yet had a chance to get the first stuff. So, you know, that is an issue as to why this question is coming up. Well, the deal is this. How you distinguish between this being another job for somebody? Busy people know how to find time to do the things that they want to do and the things that have value to them. And so when somebody looks at an opportunity to be able to increase their income working on a part-time basis, that is for them to decide. You cannot prejudge them if they're already busy and don't have any time to go fishing now. You cannot prejudge them by not talking to them or not introducing them to your business, because I cannot tell you how many absolute busy people find time to be able to build a part-time six-figure income. It is all about creating an eager want in them. So that eager want in that person was, he wants to go fishing more. Great. Well, let me show you a way where you're going to be able to do that, you know, by investing some time now to make more money so that you can pull away from the things that take the most amount of time away from you, which i.e. could be a full-time job that they're putting 50 to 60 hours a week in. So anyway, you can't prejudge people. You cannot prejudge busy people at all. Busy people always seem to find time to do what it is that they absolutely love and want to do. And the most busy people typically are of a certain personality, and they get challenged by other people making more money than them with less work and effort. Okay, here's a prospecting question. How often should I follow up with a person who says they are interested in my business but has not found time to go to my business website? Okay, that is an awesome question. And my answer to that question is they are really not interested. That's the answer. Somebody who says they're interested follows through with what they're saying. So when somebody is kind of leading you on, oh, yeah, you know, I'll take a look, and they never take a look, they're really not serious. They're not serious about looking at all. So, and if this is a prospect, if this is a warm market or cold market, it can go one of two ways. Prospect cold market, meaning you have an advertising campaign, and this is a lead. You call that person, and you had an appointment set up with them, and they said they showed up for the appointment, and they did not look at the website. Okay, this is what I would recommend that you would say. I would say, John. You call John. Hey, did you get a chance to review that website yet? No, he says no, I haven't. Okay, you haven't. No, and he starts giving you a bunch of excuses. I just got really busy, my son had a baseball game, and, my other boy broke his arm, and, we had, all these things that, that are going on, and then here's what I would say. Okay, John, is it that you really just totally got tied up and extremely busy, and that you really are serious about making that six-figure income that you told me earlier that you want to make? Or are you just telling me that you got busy because you really are not serious about making that six-figure income at all, and you're just telling me that you're busy because you really don't want to make that kind of money? Okay, John's going to say, no, I am absolutely serious about that. Okay, now I don't want to waste your time. You guys want to write this down. I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to waste mine, John. And so only if I know how serious you really are about that will I give you a second chance. And I typically don't do that. But really, how serious are you about making that six-figure income? Well, I'm absolutely serious. Really, tell me why. Well, because as I told you earlier, I need to get out of debt and I want to, provide a better lifestyle for my kids and get them into better schools. Okay, great. So you're absolutely dead serious about that. Yes, I am serious about that. Okay, then I'm going to give you a second chance to review the website. The website's going to take you about 15 minutes to look at. I'll go ahead and let you look at that now. I am going to go conduct one more interview. Our advertising campaign has been very successful. And I will call you back in 15 minutes. Okay? Does 15 minutes work out for you, John? Okay. Go check it out. And who knows? Once you check out the website, you're definitely going to find a way where you can earn that six-figure income and get out of debt and put your kids in a better educational program. There's no question you're going to find that on that website. However, if it works out for you, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. When we talk in 15 minutes, we're going to determine whether or not we're going to be able to work together. All right? All right, so why don't you go check out the website now? And that's how I would handle that. Okay? Or if he says, no, I can't in 15 minutes. My wife is, everyone's at the dinner table right now and I can't take a look. I can't do that right now. Okay, awesome. That's great. When is a good time for you to go ahead and check out that information? So what typically happens after dinner, John? When will you be done with dinner? Half an hour? Okay, and then, of course, you got to help your wife clean the dishes, right, and get the kids off to bed. So why don't I call you back at 8:30? Does 8:30 or 9 o'clock work better for you? Okay, 8:30. Great. I will call you back at 8:30. And, again, I appreciate that you were here for this appointment, which shows me that you're a man of your word. And so I know that you'll be there at 8:30 when I call, and then we'll just, who knows? We may or may not be able to work together, but at least it is a way where you can generate that extra six figures, get out of debt, and put your kids in a better educational program, okay? All right, John, I'll talk to you at 8:30. Bye. Okay, and that's how you handle that. If this was warm market, okay, and let's say that you found the needs of the person, I would say the same exact thing to your warm market. And that's if you did it right. That's if you followed the CDs in the script book and you did everything that I tell you to do and you followed them to a T, then you will know what the needs, the strengths, and the goals are of the people that you're talking to, whether they're warm market or cold market. Your job is to get what those things are. And so all you would do with your warm market is the same thing. Remember you were saying that you were really sick and tired of your job? John, yeah. Are you really serious about being sick and tired of that job? Yes, I am. Okay, well, listen, I'll go ahead and give you a second chance. I typically don't do this. And I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to waste mine. But I'll go ahead and give you a chance to go ahead and look at it. So when's a good time for me to call you back? I mean, you have 15 minutes right now? 50% of the time you're going to say yes, 50% of the time you're going to say no. So I don't need to go through the process again, but that's basically how you handle that. You qualify them first, okay? So you need to qualify them again, okay? You say, you know, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste mine. I'll give you a second chance only if I know how serious you are about doing this, okay? And then you nail them down to the time. You know, don't ask them, hey, can you look at it in 48 hours? People forget. You're setting them up for a failure. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. I like people to go check out the information, N-O-W, now. Okay, second question under prospecting. How do I constantly attract new people for my business that are business-minded and ready to work for themselves? You know what, that's a really good question. There's a lot of people that ask that question. Hold on while I take a sip of water. My answer to that question is this. That as your commitment level grows, you see, when I first got started in the business, I was so desperate to figure it out and to succeed that the kind of people that I was talking to and in the way that I was talking to it is the desperation came through. That's really what they saw. You see, there's verbal communication and there's nonverbal communication. And so the verbal communication must match up with the nonverbal communication. And the more training seminars that I would go to and the more CDs that I would listen to, the more books that I would read, my nonverbal communication just completely exploded to an outrageous level. But in the beginning, my nonverbal communication, even though I was saying the words and doing the 10 steps the company told me to do, my nonverbal communication said something like this. Oh, my gosh, I know this isn't going to work for me. I don't know what to say. I hope they don't ask me any questions. I feel like a loser. I hope I don't totally fail. Things like that. That's what the nonverbal was coming across. Oh, my gosh, I need to make my MasterCard payment. Oh, man, this has to work for me, and it has to work for me fast. Otherwise, I'm going to be in big trouble. How am I going to make my rent this month? That was the nonverbal communication that was coming across. Let me give you an example of nonverbal communication. Wife comes home. I mean, a husband comes home. Wife is there. She's been slaving all day with the kids, the house, getting dinner on the table. Husband comes home and he says, hey, honey, the guys are going down to the tavern. I was wondering if it's all right with you. I'm gonna head down to the tavern right after dinner. And the wife is, in her words, okay, her verbal communication says, you go right ahead. Her nonverbal communication says, you do, buddy, and your butt is out in the doghouse. Okay? That's the difference between verbal and nonverbal communication. She said the words of go right ahead, but the nonverbal communication says, you do, honey, and you are sleeping one cold night tonight. In fact, you're grounded for a week. You have to learn how to correct your nonverbal communication. Many of the people that you're listening to me right now, your nonverbal communication says what mine said in the beginning, which is, I'm totally desperate. Please sign up. Please sign up. Please buy something. Oh, man, I'm failing at this thing, and I hope it's going to work. There's some of your nonverbal communication that says, I don't even know why I'm talking to you because you're not going to say yes anyway. Some of your nonverbal communication says, I don't even know why I'm in this because I don't think anyone's going to succeed doing it anyhow. Some of your nonverbal communication says, I hope you don't sign up because I really am lame and a leader and I don't know what I'm doing. Some of your nonverbal communication is saying, please don't say no. If that's what your nonverbal communication is saying, you are going to attract those that feel the same way. Okay? So what happens is that as my belief changed in my business and in myself and in my God that I serve, everything changed for me. You see, here's a prime example. Once I started to succeed and I was making all kinds of money, in fact, the month after I made just under $21,000, I had found out that the people I was following were total crooks. I found that they were lying and cheating and stealing. Man, it broke my heart so bad because I so believed in what I was doing. And the very next month, in the very same area, same company, same product line, same compensation, same advertising, same script, same presentation, everything was exactly the same. I got zero results. The month before, I lost my belief. I brought in 50 people personally into my business. I brought in 50 people myself. But the next month, guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing. I couldn't give this stuff away. I couldn't give it away. And so it was a complete and total disaster. Why? Not because the company or any of that stuff changed. I changed. My belief changed. And so as your belief rises, as your confidence rises, as your skill rises, as your ability to build the business rises, you will attract a completely different group of people. But if your nonverbal communication is full of fear and you're lacking confidence and you're lacking belief, guess what? Then that is what you're really communicating, and you will attract those same kind of people. For example, if you're somebody that's always worried about money, you will attract people who are always worried about money. If you are stressing about finances, then you are going to attract people that are going to say things like, I can't afford it, right now it's not a good time, call me in 2 months. That's exactly what's going to happen. And so it is the nonverbal communication is really more of how we communicate than even verbally, all right? And so, and especially if you're on the phone, especially if you work a home-based business where you're just like strictly on the telephone, that nonverbal communication comes out loud and clear, okay? So how do you constantly attract new people for your business? You have to constantly be talking to new people. You have to constantly be having new advertising going, new advertising campaigns that are being done for you. You got to constantly be drumming up brand new business, check getting referrals, all of that kind of stuff. And at the same time, to attract business-minded, ready-to-go-to-work-for-themselves type of people, that's all completely belief, nonverbal communication, and all those issues that I just talked about. Okay? So next question is done. Okay, here's a third question concerning prospecting. And what time is it? We have 20 minutes left. When to hold your prospect's hand and when to let them go? Great question. Unfortunately, in our industry, codependency, actually in the business world, codependency is so gigantic, it's unbelievable to me. I've been blown away about what I've seen in the last year and a half about codependent relationships and business. It's just crazy. You hear about codependency and unhealthy marriages, but my goodness, it's just rampant in the business world. When to hold a prospect's hand and when to let them go. Well, let me tell you this real quick story. There's some prospects that you may have that you want to follow up with that are just, they're good prospects, and probably more so in your warm market than anything. And then there are some in the cold market that you may make contact with that you want to drip on, maybe on a monthly basis, giving them a progress report about how your business is going and how fast it's growing and what's going on with it, which means gives you a commitment that you have to make it grow. And so, for example, let's say that you talk to somebody, and again, this is if it's a qualified prospect, all right? And let's say that you're unable to close that qualified prospect right there at that moment. What you want to do is set up a time where you're going to just go ahead and spot call them at another time. There's even some of you who've got a really good prospect on the phone. You may even want to send them a thank you card for their time on the phone that day. And again, that's a good prospect. This isn't like, you know, Joe Sixpack, and, you know, that's watching TV at the same time of talking to you that, you know, can't keep a job and has no desire to go to work, that he's looking for literally a handout instead of a hand up. That's not a good prospect. A good prospect is someone who has strong desire. And when you follow up with some of those people, it really, really, really can make a difference. I have several of my clients that just know that the fortune is in the follow-up, and they continuously follow up with people, and they've got, you know, their calendars to say, you know, follow up with these people, and they make the list of people to follow up with. And it's important to do that. And there's some people that you will wind up getting in only by that follow-up process. And again, that's only good, high-quality prospects. It's not everybody that I'm talking about. And there's people in your warm market, especially, that you want to follow up with. No question, without a shadow of a doubt, that you've got go-getters in your warm market and even out of your prospects. You've got go-getters, people with track records of making things happen, doing things big. You want to follow up and follow through with all those people like that. Do not let the sun, do not let the grass grow up underneath those people's feet. You continue to follow up and follow through with them. Very important to do that. So, and you give those people time. And there's some of them, you know, like let's say that you show them the business and, you know, they're kind of, there's some people that are just going to continue to lead you on. This is where you just, the rubber meets the road, you qualify them and you say, you know what, you told me to give you a call back in 2 months and I have done that. I just need to know right now. I don't want to waste your time and I certainly don't want to waste mine. But what you had said to me the first time through the interview was blah, 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 blah. You repeat their needs, their strengths, and their goals. So, Robin, the question I have for you is this. Has your financial situation improved at all in the last 60 days? She's going to say no. Then, Robin, what makes you think it's going to improve in the next 60 days unless you do something different? It's not going to change. Robin, you're still in that job that you absolutely hate, working with a boss that you cannot stand. So, Robin, my question for you is this. How long do you want to continue on the same path of hitting your head up against the wall before you finally decide to do something so that you don't ever have to deal with this financial position that you're dealing with right now. You don't ever have to deal to be in a position where you have to put up with somebody that you cannot stand, to where you're going to be able to get out of debt and do something great for your kids. How much longer do you want to put that off? Or are you at least willing to work, willing to learn, and willing to give it a try? Okay? So you get, you qualify them. If they say, you know, I'm really not. Okay, that's awesome. I wish you the best. Good luck and God bless you. But people who are good prospects, when you nail them down with that response right there, it's a done deal. It's an absolute done deal. They're gonna get off the stinking fence already. And then there's some of you that, and you're being really wise, as you're working those prospects, you're getting their email addresses, you're putting them in an autoresponder, and monthly you send out an email to them, just giving them an update on your business. Hey, this is what's happened. We have had 7 people get started over this last month. Our check grew by X amount of percentage, or we made, our income went from $1,500 to $2,000 this month. Business is doing great. And you have those people in that autoresponder to where they're getting dripped on with your testimony or with the testimony of people you've gotten started. It's perfect. Let's say that you had Tom, that you talked to Tom in the month of December, right? And you also, and Tom wound up, you know, just kind of dragging his feet. He hasn't really gotten started yet, but he seemed to be a good prospect. Well, what happens with Tom, and you let him know that Jim got started the very same month, and you tell what happened to Jim. Hey, Tom, just to let you know, Jim got started this very same month that you were taking a look at it. Man, this guy made $500 part-time his first month, man. He got over all of the excuses. He's already made all his money back from his initial investment. Just wanted to keep in touch with you, let you know, and keep you up on the progress of things. By the way, how are things going for you? Things like that. Okay? All right, that's another excellent question answered. How do I best approach people about the business opportunity without turning them off because they have been burned by previous experience in MLM? Great question. And I don't know if you're sitting back thinking that everybody on your list of resources have all seen this kind of thing before and you're kind of procrastinating on actually giving them a call, or do you have one person on your list that you know was burned by the industry and you want to know what to say to them? Either way, I'll address both. Best way to approach people is, number one, to approach them. Yep. That would be good, is to actually approach them. That's kind of an important thing to do. That's step number one. Approach them, because no matter what you say, you're going to get some kind of a result, bottom line. So not approaching them, we know that zero results will happen from no approach at all. So that's number one, is approach them. Next is best way to approach them without turning them off. Well, do not sound like the rest of the networkers that are out there. Honestly, there's not more of a bigger turnoff to me personally than someone coming across with just over excitement, unprofessionalism, saying, hey, I got a deal, you got to check it out, and, you know, sign up so you can be my downline. I think that's an approach that I wouldn't sign up for, but there are people who will. No question. So one approach that you can use, in the script book, for example, there's an approach. In fact, any one of the approaches for your warm market on page 6 are perfect. You're doing a test market. I was wondering if you'd be willing to help me out with something. We've been looking for a way to get out of debt, and after carefully searching what we felt would work, we found something. But before we completely get ourselves in too deep, we're first doing a test market through our friends that we trust will give us an honest assessment. It's kind of a look under the hood and test drive before we buy kind of a thing, so would you be willing to test something out for me? That's a great approach. Doing a test market. If you've got a really outstanding product that really affects people, that's a great approach to use with them. Another approach would be the practice approach. You know, just say, I know that what I'm doing is so not for you at all, but you are definitely the kind of person I want to practice on because I know how bad you don't like what it is I know you don't believe in home-based businesses and stuff like that, and I got to learn how to deal with people like you. Is there any way that you could help me out and let me practice on you? You know, real simple. So anyway, there's number one, approach them. We know that there will be a certain amount of percentage of a result from approaching them. We know that there will be a guaranteed 0% if you don't approach them. Opportunity, when you're dealing with people who have been turned off before, don't come across like the rest of the people out there that do. Come across in a, we're doing a test market, can you help me out kind of a thing. That works really well. Okay, next, this is number 5 under prospecting. I want to learn, I'm running out of time. I want to learn how to recruit more people and get them to work without me pushing them. Awesome. And that is a great question. Then, as I talked about earlier, it's expose, involve, and upgrade, okay? What's important is that you first expose them to the opportunity, then you need to get them involved. And there are thousands of people using the website DannyJohnson.com as their involvement for their people, okay? It's 24/7 involvement for people. And this is really where you see, you know, out of 10 people that you send to that site, there's just going to be a few that are actually going to listen and a few that are even fewer that are actually going to apply. That is called life. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to change those numbers. As you improve, as you believe more, as you your conviction is stronger, they are afraid to not listen to you. In the beginning, it sounds like you're begging them, but as you get stronger in your business, your skill gets better, guess what happens? You just totally, you know, they're enamored with your, like, confidence. They're like, okay, well, I got to do whatever she tells me to do. And you'll get to that point. There's no question, and that takes time. But meanwhile, until you get to that point, it's called involvement, plugging them into a system where they're having somebody else build their belief, build their faith, somebody else building their strength, building their ability, and increasing their skill. Okay? That's what you use with the involvement process through the website, is you drive people to that website, and that's what you do. Now, when you sponsor somebody in the business, it's important that you use these steps. I have like a homework process that you should use, you know, with dealing with people like that. For example, in fact, if you go to the website, probably check February. Yeah. It's step 4 called on-the-job training, okay? So it was done in February. There's a whole call on how to properly start people and how to put them to work immediately. So go, it's in the website, it's totally free. Listen to that call that's on the website as far as how to put them to work right away. And the bottom line is that when people are having success, you can't keep them from working the business. We have two extremes. We have your leadership in the business that, man, they would work this thing 80 hours a week if they could. They'd work it 100 hours a week if they could. Why? Because they're having success and it's fun and they like dealing with people and they like making money and they love the challenge of it. Then you've got the people who are like procrastinating and they're not having any success and it's not working for them and it's taking too long and blah, 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 blah. There's one of the two extremes. I can guarantee you that the people that are making money and things are happening for them, they used to be the people that things were not working for them. It was driving them crazy. They were totally frustrated. And something happened. They had a defining moment. They went to some seminar. They listened to some CD. They read something in some book. They, you know, had a huge revelation from their God. Whatever it took, they got it, and they crossed over to the other side. And now, you know, the challenge with them is, like, getting them to slow down and not work so stinking hard. But they have families that they should be taking care of. So, as far as putting them to work and accelerating them without pushing them, that's about building a team instead of you being a boss. And that's a creating a dynasty real issue there, which we go over a lot in dynasty. But to get you started, to push, to step them, you know, to have them step up on the right foot, go to the website. In February, there was called on-the-job training. It's how to put your people to work, how to start them right away. Okay, and that'll give you the 4 steps and tell you what to do with them and getting them going in the right way. Okay? For the rest of it, it's an art of leadership. It's learning how to create an eager one in that sales force. It's learning how to talk to your team as, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go. And we're going to make this happen. And to hit this goal overall, guys, what kind of a goal, what kind of an increase in sales do we want to see this month? How many new starts do we want to get as an organization this month? How many new customers? Okay, what are you going to commit to? Awesome job. There's so much to this question, it's not even funny. If you look even on the call from the week before last, I totally went into this as well. So that's a good start for you guys. Okay, we got 5 minutes before the top of the hour. I answered a ton of questions for you guys today, a phenomenal amount of questions, and I hope and pray that you feel totally satisfied and had a couple of nuggets that you felt were helpful for you. Let me wrap this up. I just want to tell you guys that I'm totally blessed. All of us over here at DannyJohnson.com are very blessed to be in business with you. We are just completely impressed and blown away about how teachable, how hungry, how solid, how focused you are, and how determined you are to making your business work for you. Now, even if you're brand new or you feel like you're brand new only because of the kind of results that you're dealing with right now, it's okay. You just need to understand some things take time. And somebody like, well, I've been in for 30 years and it's still not working for me. I understand. Everyone is on a different learning curve. No, there's no question about that. And everyone has their own journey. Just don't ever compare yourself to anybody else. That's what's important. You're on your own journey. You will find your way. And I do know this. If you continue to invest in your skill, The marketplace pays for value, and your skill is what determines that value to the marketplace. If you continue to do that and you continue to learn, whether you're learning on all the free stuff on the website or you're stepping up and making investments into your education just as a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist does, but you're stepping up and making investments into your education, like many of you that are going to be at Creating a Dynasty coming up in a week and a half out in Tampa. Those of you that will be in Denver, Colorado, those of you that are just listening online, those of you that have the North Carolina CDs or the script book, whatever part of the product structure it is that you're using, please do this. Please promise me that you will apply what you learn. Please promise me that you will do your absolute best shot to not just purchase some script book or just purchase a CD and not listen to it. Give me a break. I am not in the business of selling products. I'm in the business of helping people to get success with less work and effort, about streamlining your business, helping it to become more profitable. And so you don't need to get out there and you know, listen to something if you're not going to apply it. It's the wise person who listens and puts it to use is the one that's going to see growth coming out of what they use. Don't be somebody that's just trying to soak up good information so you can turn around and spit out good information. You want to be the doer of the information, not the speaker of the information, but the doer of the information. And on a daily basis, the things that I'm sharing with you, I do these things. Whether it's been hiring contractors to remodel a house, or a roofer to fix a roof, or hiring people for various different positions, whether it be a nanny or what have you, really doesn't matter, or working, you know, raising money for the youth group, you know, that's going to Germany in June. Whatever it is, these skills that I gave you tonight are the same exact things that I live by on a daily basis. Because you put them to use, you will have great growth out of it. So please promise me that you're not just going to listen to this last hour that I just poured into you and just go, wow, there's some really good information, and then you send an email to your organization or to your management or whatever, oh, you know, and then you wrote it as though you came up with it all by yourself. Put it to use. Don't be like 98% of the population of a bunch of talking heads out there who don't use anything of what they think they know. If you really want to know what it is that we're talking about, you want to know the things that are on those CDs, you want to know what it is that happens at first sentence, you've got to put it to use. And one little thing at a time put into use, you're going to see a massive impact from it. You may not see it right away, but I promise you, you're on a different path when you begin to make improvements in any particular area of your life. So please don't just be another person. Last thing in the world I want to do is give you information that you're just going to go give information to somebody else. That's just terrible. It's about putting it to use. Know it by doing it. Period. End of story. And let me wrap this up with this. You know that many of you, we are already filling up for Denver. We have 5 weeks, I think, before Denver is going to be taking place. Denver, Colorado, it's going to be an awesome event, no question about it. We've never been to Denver. I don't know when the next time I'll be anywhere near the state of Colorado, as well as the neighboring states around Colorado. This is your chance, Colorado. Do not let the chance pass you by. We do not hit all 50 states. If you're waiting for us to come to you, you're going to wait a very long time, and there's some states that I will never get to. So please take advantage of the opportunity to go to First Steps to Success that's coming up here real soon. As well as those of you that are getting ready for Dynasty, I think I have one more Monday before I'm going to talk to you. I'll give you guys instructions coming up. But bring cameras. We are having a pajama party. There's going to be a contest for who has the best pajamas. At Dynasty, we're going to have so much fun, you guys, and you guys are going to be overloaded with incredible amounts of information. It's going to be great revelation. A lot of captives are going to be set free. A lot of people are going to get some skill that's absolutely fully amazing, that they're going to walk out autopilot building their business without fear, without confidence issues. They're going to walk out knowing exactly how to do it and how to build it and where they're going and how they're going to get there. And then we're going to have others of you that, you know, you're going to walk out with Dynasty with an outrageous belief system, attracting different types of people following that training seminar. And I'll tell you this, most of you that are going to be there, you're going to majorly improve all of your relationships. I mean all of your relationships are going to majorly improve. So anyway, other than that, thanks so much, guys, for your attention tonight. Again, it's a privilege to be in business with you all. We are proud of you. We're proud of your dedication and your commitment, especially on a late night every Monday night that we meet together. And I can't wait to see and meet many of you at future events. I'm going to open up the lines, and we all just wish everybody a good night, and God bless. Good night.